I think the most important thing is probably that it is vitally important, no matter what your role is as a CPA, to meet people where they
are. Welcome to Change Your Mindset podcast, where it's all about believing in and executing on different and innovative ways to strengthen both your leadership and communication skills to help increase your success, and especially in today's disruptive business environment. One of the most effective ways of building stronger leadership and communication skills is by embracing the principles of improvisation. Yes, that's right, improv. Your host, Peter Margaritis, is an improv virtuoso. He's also a certified speaking professional and a CPA, also known as the accidental accountant. Each episode of Change Your Mindset is designed to bring you different and innovative ideas, thoughts, and behavioral changes on a variety of differing topics, with the sole purpose of strengthening your critical soft skills. We may call them soft skills, but they are the hardest to master. And when we do, greater success and growth is the result. So jump in and start changing your mindset now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Change Your Mindset podcast. My guest today is David Peters, a financial guru and founder and owner of David Peters Financial Group, Peters Tax Preparation and Consulting, and Peters Professional Education. With 14 plus years of experience in finance, including roles in hedge funds and insurance, David's expertise is unparalleled. He made history as the first chief financial officer at Compare.com and now shares his wisdom as a national instructor for the AICPA and through his own professional education business. David's captivating courses cover accounting, finance, insurance, financial planning, and ethics, inspiring the next generation of financial leaders. With four master's degrees and a PhD in progress, his contributions to the CPA publications and co-authorship of the Virginia CPA Ethics course solidify his place as a true industry influencer.
This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
So without further ado, let's get to the interview with David Peters. Welcome back, everybody. My new longtime best friend, David Peters, who has a podcast called Accountable. I was interviewed on his podcast last week and was so enthralled by his hosting abilities and the way he conducted this podcast, and seemed like a really nice guy. I wanted to flip the tables on him and let me ask the questions, which to put him in the hot seat. And he graciously agreed to appear on my podcast. So first and foremost, David, thank you so very much, one, for having me on your podcast, and two, for taking time out of your schedule to be on mine.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for having me. I know that you said I'm a nice guy. Of course, we don't really know each other that well, right? So who knows how this is going to go? No, seriously, I really enjoyed talking with you when we did my podcast, and I'm grateful to be on, and I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
That's my goal, is for us to have a lot of fun as well as part of some of our part on some of our knowledge into the accounting profession as it sits. And my question out of the box, which may seem kind of simple, but it can be kind of long-winded at times. You've been around for a while. Where do you see the profession going? Where do you see the future of the accounting profession?
Well, I think that the question, I mean, you what you said there, I guess, maybe is a simple question, but man, the answer sure is complex, I think, because especially now, I think we're at an interesting point in our profession. We're in a world where we have things like artificial intelligence, and we also have situations where I think that a lot of our maybe classic accounting skills are maybe not necessarily going to be the things that are going to get us by going into the future. You know, I think that we hear lots of doom and gloom at times, or at least maybe I feel like that we do, where we hear about how ChatGPT is going to end the profession, that all of us are going to be, replaced by robots, and that the world in the future will be not one that accountants are in. I think you and I both agree that that is not going to be the case.
Right.
And I think that the main reason why I say that is because the value of the CPA is not the ability to regurgitate FASB codes. It's not the ability to regurgitate tax code. It's not any of those things. I know that we spend our time doing and learning some of those things, but I think that really the value of the CPA is in the objective opinion, the objectivity of the profession, and those analytical skills. And also, too, I think that, what's going to become more important, I think, in the future is those communication skills, too. Because even if you're not in, maybe there is this time where maybe kind of knowing, code section 351 is maybe not, kind of the main skill that you're hired for. But I think being able to communicate what exactly that is, my goodness, I can't see a time where that's more important.
Right, because, do you have a tin key on your desk?
I don't anymore. I was one of the last ones to jump off that, though, I got to tell you.
So you went to the support group to realize they didn't need a tin key on you, because I ask CPAs when I'm in front of them, how many of you have a tin key? And hands go up flying in the air.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I go, there's a support group for you. There's this thing called Excel.
Yes.
Have you heard of it? Or are you still in the Quattro Pro or maybe the Lotus 1-2-3 days? I get right. We're reluctant to change a lot of times. But, to your point, I think, with ChatGPT and a lot of the technology, it's there to help us, not replace us. And, we're having similar conversations in the academic world, plagiarism and, is it their work, and there's ways of figuring that out. But as it relates to the accounting profession, if I could do quicker tax research or FASB research using an AI bot, I'm in. And right. Jody Paydar, if you're listening to this, yes, I said I'm in with the bots. I mean, Jody was trying to coax me along for years to accept accounting bots, and I was always reluctant, but now I'm all in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've gone through these massive changes before. I mean, and I can distinctly remember when I first started, hearing about how, kind of the tax programs that were out there were basically going to make my job obsolete as a tax practitioner. I distinctly remember how, we joke about the 10 key. My lasting memory about the 10 key is, as I distinctly remember, the very first accounting job that I worked, I was an intern in at a small accounting firm that was in one of the suburbs of Chicago. And I distinctly remember watching one of the CPAs as he was typing on a 10 key without looking. Yeah. So he was staring at the computer, but he was so good. And I just remember the fingers flying and there was just tape everywhere. And I remember thinking to myself, my goodness, what have I walked into, we thought that we've had these things in the past that we've said, oh, this is going to, massively change the profession. And certainly they had impact. I don't mean to say that they didn't, but it didn't affect us, because I think that people misunderstand what the value is of being a CPA.
Right.
It's not that we're just sort of facts, we don't regurgitate facts. It goes beyond that. There's a skill set there that goes beyond that.
Well, you bring up an interesting point. How do we communicate to our, and I'm going to use this term very broadly, clients, whether we're in public accounting, whether we're in industry accounting, whether we're in academia, how do we communicate our value as a CPA to those who we come in contact with? Because I don't think we're doing a very good job of that.
I think that is a very is spot on. I think that a lot of folks, I think, really do struggle with how to actually explain what our value is. I think for us as a profession, I think that we need to explain that a lot of what CPAs are typically hired for, what I tell a lot of the CFOs that I work with and a lot of the tax practitioners and financial advisors, is that you are hired in a lot of cases to be the voice of reason. Mm-hmm. I know that that might be a weird thing to say, but I think it's true. You know, I mean, if you're the CFO, what is the CFO's job within the firm? It's typically to be the voice of reason. It's the person who says, this should be our strategy. This is the one, you know, this is the path that we should go. We don't have the money to do, you know, this thing that you want us to do. We're the voice of reason, and people depend on us, I think, to be that. And so if you're not that, then I think that there's, you know, there's a disconnect there. People don't realize that in a lot of cases, I mean, I think, you know, CFOs kind of keep people grounded and they help, you know, turn ideas into reality, I think, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they do that, but I think they also, because I've said, you know, to some of my clients in the past, and still to my, I'm a virtual CFO and to my one client in that realm today. My job is to help you sleep at night, and that is because you may not have that same kind of financial acumen, business acumen that I have, but I can take it, put it in a point, communicate it to you so you can understand, so you can sleep well at night versus you trying to tackle it on your own and losing your mind and going, why am I paying so much in taxes? Because you're making a lot of money.
Right.
It's right. That whole kind of mentality, I think, that goes to providing or communicating our value.
I think that that's well stated. I mean, in a lot of cases, what do people pay for? They pay for peace of mind. What I think of when you say that is I think of the situations where I've had people come to me with a tax return and they've said, I really just want someone to look at what I did. Mm-hmm. And I think that actually speaks a lot. You know, we talk about the technology, we talk about how it's advanced and how much better it's gotten over time. Those things are true. However, there's something about human connectivity with another human. Mm-hmm. There's something there. We trust other people.
Right.
And I think that that's important. I also remember, you know, one of the firms that I helped start, I was the first CFO of Compare.com. Compare.com was a price comparison website for auto insurance rates, sort of like almost like Kayak for auto insurance in a way. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we noticed very early on when we started this company is we had a really good website that, you know, was intuitive and people would, you know, kind of go through the website and everything, and they would get all the way to the end and then they would stop and something would stop them from binding quotes. And what we figured out over time was that if we were to put something out there, if we were to put a button that would allow people to communicate with a real human being, we started getting more binds. Hmm. And so, again, it's people have this tinge of doubt when it comes to complex financial products that they don't know what they are. And they just need somebody there, like you said, to give them peace of mind, to get them over the finish line.
Well, you said the word trust.
Yeah.
And if you remember during the whole Sarbanes-Oxley, Enron, WorldCom, there were surveys went out. So do you trust the accountants? Well, maybe not. Do you trust your accountant? Yes.
Yeah.
But that's, to me anymore, that used to be our whole equation. We are very trustworthy.
Right.
So we'll be able to retain our clients because we're trustworthy.
Right.
Now, I think in today's day and age, going to communication skills, is we can be trustworthy to a point, but if I cannot communicate to you in what I'll just call plain English versus accounting, which is a foreign language, it's the foreign language of business, in a manner that you can understand, now you got trust and now you got understanding. Right now, there's a lot of people out there who just have the trust. They'll walk out of an office, whether it's the CFO's office or the CPA's office within the firm. I have no idea what they said.
Right.
And I think that will help increase that value
right
proposition.
I think that's very well stated. I would also say, too, I think what you're pointing to is that how do you build trust? Well, you build trust through communication. I mean, it's that's what we do. That's what we do as human beings. I mean, how does somebody get to the point where, you know, they are a trustworthy person in your life? Well, you have interactions with them over and over and over again. That's how it happens. And I think you're right. I think that a lot of times the way that we as CPAs, I think, miss the mark, I think a lot of times with our clients is because when we talk at a level, if we talk at a really high level, it's not impressive. Right. I mean, if you talk over my head, I don't say to myself, boy, you know, Pete must be really, really smart. I say to myself, my goodness, I don't know what in the world he just said. Right. And I'm not sure if I feel any better about it than I did before. I always equate it when I went into a cell phone store one time here in my home in Richmond. I was buying a new cell phone. And this person who was there, I think he meant well, but he was telling me about all these features and everything. And I finally just looked at him. I was like, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. I really just want something that works and does X, Y, and Z. That's it. And I know that he felt like he was giving me a lot. And so I did my best to listen and to be polite, but I have to tell you, it wasn't impressive to me. I really just wanted something that was functional and was going to work. And I sort of equate it to that is that, you know, if you've ever been in a situation where somebody's talked over your head, it doesn't make you smart. It just makes you frustrated.
Yeah, that reminds me, I got a call on a Friday afternoon from my doctor's office, and I was expecting a nurse practitioner. It wasn't. It was the doctor.
Yeah.
And the doctor went into this tsunami of medical terminology that, I mean, if she was talking over me, I couldn't climb a 30-foot ladder and still she'd be talking over my head. Finally, yeah. I said, stop, doc. Tell me in English what you're trying to tell me in medical language.
Yeah.
Pete, you may have cancer. Thank you. Now I know what we're dealing with. And in plain English, how are we going to figure this out?
Right.
And told me. And it was as simple as that. And every time this is my doctor in Columbus, Ohio, so I'm here in Stillwater. But every time I'd go back into her office, I'd remember, plain English for me.
Yeah.
Plain English for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to realize.
Right.
As accountants. Right. I mean, we speak accounting language.
Yeah.
Outside of the profession, nobody understands it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're kicking around, you know, code sections and lots of accounting acronyms, MAKERS and GAAP and IFRS and all of the other acronyms that we like, we're a very acronym happy bunch. Yeah. And if you're doing that, that works if you're in a room full of other CPAs. But, you know, especially I think if you're listening to this and you're looking to advance in your career and you're looking to advance in your company, you get to a point typically, I think in corporate America, where you have less of a room where it's you and a bunch of accountants. A lot of times you are communicating with board of directors and things like that. I recall one time one of my first board meetings I ever had, I was a new CFO and I was, you know, going through the financial statements and everything, and I was doing my thing, you know, and I was going through and I was talking about ratios and all sorts of good stuff, all sorts of good finance stuff. And he stopped me and he goes, Dave, he goes, stop. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, whatever I did, I'm sorry, you know? Yeah. And he said, Dave, stop. He goes, what are the three things that I need to know?
Bingo.
And I said, okay. I said, bang, bang, and bang. He goes, that's what I needed. That's it.
Bingo. Yeah. I've heard a number of stories like that. And by the way, for my audience, I know it's not all full of accounts. For my audience, when David said Makers, he wasn't referring to Maker's Mark whiskey. He was referring to the tax code of modified accelerated cost recovery system.
Yeah. The whiskey would have been a better choice maybe, but not on this one, although that stuff is good. So there you go.
Yeah. But I mean, to the point we're acronym crazy and we say these acronyms and I always make a joke when somebody says SEC below the Ohio River, that's a Southeastern Conference, not the Securities and Exchange Commission. Yes. You don't know what people are thinking, but they won't ask you.
Right.
Because they don't want to seem like they're stupid, but they're not.
Right.
They're just putting with their analogies, with their what they're used to hearing. They're not used to our world, most of them.
Right. And I think that is a very hard skill, though, to learn. It's very hard to I think a lot of people can learn the words. I think it's much harder, though, to communicate. I mean, because communication involves me knowing enough about you as the person who is listening to me that I'm going to know how to meet you where you are. And people are in different spots when it comes to financial stuff. I have some clients that are very good on the financial side. I mean, you can talk up, to them for sure. And I have some clients who are just like, this just isn't my thing. My thing is in another area. And for those folks, if you're going to work with them, you got to find ways to not just use the right words. You got to find ways to communicate with them. And I think it's also too, I think you're right. I think, unfortunately, I think because, and maybe it's because we have a lot of folks in our profession that tend to be pretty, pretty smart folks, pretty sharp folks. But I think sometimes they inadvertently make people feel stupid, make people feel dumb, make people feel just not up to par, and that's terrible. How do we grow a client base? How do you build trust if you're just kind of making people feel bad?
I've got a couple stories here, and one is just recently. I was at my doctor's office yesterday, and they've got a new nurse practitioner in there, and she goes, "So what do you do?" I said, "I'm on faculty at Oklahoma State University." She goes, "What do you teach?" I said, "Accounting." And she goes, "By the way, I'm a math atheist." Everybody puts accounting in the same world as math, and right. It's further from the truth, but I wasn't going to take that moment and go into a 15-minute dialogue on why I wasn't.
Yeah, right, right.
and the other one was, like I said, I'm a virtual CFO. My client wanted me to become her virtual CFO because the accounting firm was, she's a performing arts major. She's got one hell of a business. Her balance sheet and income statement are tighter and stronger than mine.
Right.
But she wants to understand it better. And the accounting firm that I referred her to wasn't doing a good job. Yeah. And one day called me in tears and goes, "They made me feel stupid again. They didn't do it on purpose, but they keep forgetting I don't speak their language." And then this was during the pandemic. They put the spreadsheet from hell up that had like a million rows and million columns. And I just almost got airsick.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I've shared that with a lot of firms when I get in front of them. And they all kind of had this eating grin on their face and nodding their heads going, but they're realizing, oh crap, I've done that.
Right. Right.
Time for a quick commercial break. Off Script, Mastering the Art of Business Improv is available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle version. If you want to learn more about the book or order a copy, go to offscriptimprov.com and order your copy by clicking the click to order button. If you want to buy 10 or more books, please contact me to offer you a bulk discount. You can reach me through my email at peter@petermargaritas.com.
I think it goes a long way, and Pete, you may have some insight here too. I mean, I think it goes a long way just asking people, "Do you understand? Do you understand?" Like, I ask a lot is I say, "Does this help? Does this help? If not, let me know and I'll try again." Because I don't think, I think it's hard to hit it every single time. I really do. I think it's hard to communicate well every single time. But I think if you can ask and just be I don't know if what the right word is, but I think if you can just be maybe humble enough to just say, okay, is this what you're looking for? Does this help you get to where you want to be? Did I answer your question? Mm-hmm. Those types of things, I think, go a long way because it opens up the door for somebody to say, no, you that's not what I meant at all.
Right. There's one additional piece in that.
Okay.
And you could ask that person if they understand and they go, yeah, I understand. And you look at their body language.
Yeah.
And if they still have the deer in the headlights approach, they're afraid to say, I don't understand because I'm going to feel stupid.
Right.
So then they might say yes, but you can tell by their body language or their facial expressions that they're going to. Then you go, well, I tell you what, just to make sure, let's try it this way.
Yeah.
And see if that changes, because a lot of times people will not tell you. Because of, not to go through the personality communication scale like a DISC, but some of those quadrants they will not share that they don't understand.
Good point.
So the body language tells the truth, not the words, a lot of times.
That's true. I always find it interesting that in the CPA world, a lot of times we look at education in those communication skills areas as somehow being less than.
Right.
I think you know what I mean. I mean, I think that we look at the hard skill, hey, let's do, financial statement analysis or something like that as being kind of that's kind of like quality CPE, but let's somehow these other skills, these communication skills, the ethics classes, the things like that are just so vitally important. And I think are going to become more important, especially as we, as we progress forward here, that we somehow look at that as being something less. And I'm not really sure why that is. I think it's maybe it's just because we as CPAs, we feel less comfortable a lot of times in those areas. So it plays off of something that we're just not naturally as good at. It's harder.
Yeah. I think it goes back to the way years ago. I mean, we were more number crunchers then.
Right.
Very much so. We were very much the tin key, the bean counter, all of that. And since when technology has come in and changed this, I started doing communication leadership skills courses back in 2005 when I was at Ohio Dominican University. Mm-hmm. And then when I decided to take the business full time, I was also doing technical accounting, IFRS. Remember that incentive for retirement soon? Great, great standards.
Yeah. Right.
And I could barely sell a communication leadership course. I could sell technical courses. And then all of a sudden, around 2012, 2013, things began to change. Yeah. And now I do 0.01% technical. And I don't even call my survey of accounting course an accounting course. It's a communication course.
Yeah.
More or less, because we're not talking debits and credits and T accounts. It's more of a boiled down version for the whole business, the business school, those who come into it, to at least have some understanding of the communication and how we work without getting into the detail. And it's become more critical today that students come out with better communication skills than they have in the past. And that's why Oklahoma State created the School of Accounting and Communication Center, which I'm the director of.
Right.
And, talk about emotional intelligence. I had a potential client that became a client. Their HR person contacted me and said, I just read your piece on emotional intelligence in the Georgia Society CPAs magazine. Can you do a course on emotional intelligence, but never mention those two words at all during it? the managing partner thinks, he doesn't need a shrink.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I went, absolutely, I can't.
Right.
Right. All of that, I'm more and more I'm interacting over the last 5 years. People were realizing the importance of communication skills. We used to call them soft skills. That was the other thing.
Yeah.
Versus the hard skills. But I would even look at them and go, we may call them soft, but they're pretty hard to master. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, big time. I think so too. I mean, again, people don't want to interact with people that they can't connect with. I mean, they can't communicate with. And so it makes your life harder. And also, I can tell you too. I mean, just from, you know, right now we're talking about, you know, lots of stuff having to do with hiring. A lot of firms are really struggling with, you know, hiring and who to hire and where is the CPA pipeline and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
What puts people over the top is that ability to communicate. So, and we talk about the CPA pipeline and how vital it is. And certainly that's an issue right now. I mean, there's a shortage of talent, but who are you going to hire? Are you going to hire somebody who you communicate well with, or are you going to hire somebody who might be really smart, but you got no idea what in the world they're saying? Mm-hmm. You really limit your ability, your upward mobility in a company. You really limit your value to clients, to your colleagues, to partners, to, you know, the society that you are serving, if you can't communicate well. And I think that is a vital part of our profession. And I think we need to do more to just sort of show that those communication skills are important, and that is ultimately what is going to get you promotions and get you clients and get you the good partnerships. It's that kind of stuff. People want somebody they can connect with.
I've noticed over the years that I've done continuing education courses for the accounting profession. The audience is broken up into thirds.
Yeah.
There's a third there just to check the box.
Yeah.
I got my hours. I didn't pay attention. I was in the back reading the newspaper or something. you've got another third that's interested and want to apply it.
Yeah.
But then they leave and they go, I'm more comfortable doing this. I don't want to take any risk. I've been successful at doing it this way. And then you've got that other third that goes, well, maybe they're onto something. Maybe I really need to take a look at this and start driving that and moving that forward and putting the things into play. I mean, you've got a hell of a website when it comes to your professional education courses, because there's one being offered tomorrow. Unfortunately, I can't attend. It's on ethics and something about culture, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Building a framework for regulatory ethics, or potentially making ethics into a competitive advantage.
Yeah, something like that. And I mean, you do a lot of this stuff. And would you agree with that audience, especially when you're in front of a live audience?
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I mean, there are folks that are just there to check the box. I personally would kind of always wonder about those folks, because especially if they're in like a tax update, Pete, I mean, like, my goodness. I mean, if you are going to check the box, if that is really your goal, okay, there are a whole lot of easier ways to check that box than to sit in one of my tax updates, Pete. I mean, I got to tell you. And so, you know, I mean, I think that's, I think you're right though. I mean, and you know, in all seriousness, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think that there is a group there that is just there to check the box. There is a group there, though, that also wants to hear what you have to say and that is really interested in the topic. And then there's other people who hopefully, while you're talking, you turn them, you know, turn them into, because they hear something and they're like, wait a minute, I've run across that. So maybe the other things that were out there, maybe not so much, but that resonates with me.
Yeah. And it's, people resonate on not facts and figures. That interests them, but doesn't resonate with them. They resonate on the emotional story that's told, that includes them, unbeknownst to them, into that story. Like, just like you said, I've run across that.
Yeah.
That gets the buy-in. That draws them in versus we're just, you know, I was a tax guy years ago. I do all these tax updates and go, well, there's 8 hours I never get back in my life. And I was trying to pay attention too.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I also think too, one of the things that the pandemic, I think, taught us is that, you know, we started doing a lot more online CPE. And I think what people realized is that, one, it is really tough to stick with, you know, certain topics over, you know, a certain length of time. Mm-hmm. And also too, I think that just, you know, that the topic itself, I mean, just means everything. And if you can get, the ones that people get invested in are things that they can somehow connect with. I mean, it's, and a lot of times, and I don't mean to get this wrong either. I mean, you know, look, I mean, it is, you know, knowing the tax law is important. It is, you know, in many ways a foundational thing for tax preparers. At the same time, though, I'm not sure that, you know, that if I know some kind of random fact about the Internal Revenue Code that necessarily wins me clients, you know. Right. Like, I mean, I know I can depreciate a pig over 3 years. I'm not really sure that necessarily, you know, has that won me a single client in, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, I live in the city, Pete. I mean, I live in Richmond, Virginia, and I mean, truthfully, I mean, I'm not sure that the folks that are in the city that they necessarily care.
I think I'm gonna make one of your social media memes. You can depreciate a pig over 3 years. I've not stopped laughing. I've had people make me laugh before, but that by far is the hardest.
Yeah, I mean, well, so there you go. Okay, so folks that are out there now you have learned something about makers, and you have also learned something about the depreciation of farm animals. You know, but I mean, the point though is I mean, like, so I'm not sure that necessarily expanding my technical knowledge. I mean, technical knowledge is certainly a part of what we do, but I'm not sure that necessarily is valuable though to clients. Like, I mean, you might know a whole lot about a specific area. But I mean, unless that client's actually practicing in that area, unless they own a farm, they're not going to find that to be valuable information. They might say, hey, you know, cool, man. You know, I mean, maybe that wins me, you know, the random fact of the night award, you know, but it doesn't necessarily win me clients. And I think that's something, too, that we need to understand.
Let's take a step back, because we were talking about, you know, remote work and remote learning and doing webinars and stuff like that. And then we also mentioned earlier in this about the human connection.
Right.
So during the pandemic, we tend to have lost that human connection because we're on Zoom and we're doing this. But there is one way that you can at least have some type of human connection. It's very simple. It's not hard. It's called turning your camera on.
Yes, indeed.
And actually, I was on a call this morning with a colleague of mine, Jennifer, and we started talking about this topic. And after about 10 minutes, we go, okay, we're going to co-author. We're going to and give a quote, co-author an article and get it into the Journal of Accountancy on the importance of having your camera on. Because, and there was a survey that came out about 18 months ago where CEO said, you know, if I'm in a meeting and people have the camera off, my assumption is they're not going to be around too much longer, because perception is reality, but we continue to do it.
Right. That is very well put. I know too, I mean, I've said to CPAs that I still think it is a face-to-face business, even if it is over the internet. I mean, there is something too, because I mean, to the point that you made earlier on, body language, you can't see body language unless you can see the other person, unless you're looking into their eyeballs. I mean, you can't really see that. I mean, I also think, too, that in a lot of ways, that we connect better when people are on camera, partly because we just see them as human beings. You see them in their living room, or you see them in their office, and you see them getting interrupted by, you know, their children and, you know, and things like that, that are very human things. But, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, there's been a few times where I've been in meetings with partners that could have been a bit contentious, a bit, you know, just a bit more difficult conversations, because maybe we're negotiating over something or something like that. I see the person on the other side. In a lot of ways, it makes the negotiation easier, because all of a sudden we have this connectivity. All of a sudden, you see me where I'm at, you see, you know, who I am, you see how I talk and you know, what I'm saying to you. You also, though, you know, I see you, and it's all of a sudden, it just melts the ice a little bit. I it's a hard phenomenon for me to explain, but I still think that we need to see other people. We need to see them for who they are.
Absolutely. And in this conversation I was having with Jennifer this morning, we got on the topic of body language.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what bad body language is in a webinar? People's cameras being off.
Yeah.
Because I mean, to some degree, that's well, you know, when we see somebody speaking, the words may come out, but if their body language is saying, I have no idea what I'm talking about, goes a long way. Now their camera's off. So I don't know. The presumption is the multitask.
Right. Sure.
They're double dipping here. And, you know, that goes a long way in that virtual body language.
I think a lot of firms are also catching on to that too. I mean, I've done CPE classes for some firms who have said, you need to have your camera on because we want to, if you want credit for this course, not that it's NASBA and all that other stuff no, what they're saying is it is important to us for you to be engaged.
Right.
And the way that you are truly engaged is if you got your camera on and you know that other people are watching, that you're going to be engaged.
Right. Yeah. And you can watch when they become not engaged, but that's okay. As long as it's few and far between.
Right.
When the cat walks up on the desk and, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
And all of that, you know what, we could go for about another 45 minutes or so. And maybe we'll have a follow-up.
Sure.
I want you to leave the audience with, you know, we started with what does this profession look like in the future? And we've gone down a few different paths.
Yeah.
Summarize what you think the most important thing that my audience, and it's as diverse as your audience is.
Sure.
There's a lot of different variety out there. What do you think that the most important thing for the audience to take away from this conversation is?
I think the most important thing is probably that it is vitally important, no matter what your role is as a CPA, to meet people where they are at when you are communicating with them. It is less about you. It is more about them and how they are hearing the words that you're saying. I think in our profession, especially, the technology is going to change, and it's going to continue to change, by the way. I mean, it's not going to stop. It's going to continue to change. Chat GPT is going to come in, and then there's going to be something beyond that and something beyond that. What really is the important part of our profession is that trust that we build through communicating and really connecting with other people. I think if we don't have that, then we've lost our edge. We've lost our edge as a profession. And all of a sudden, could we become outdated? Yeah, if we lose that, I think we could.
Yeah, someday ChatGPT will be the new MySpace.
Right.
The old MySpace, because it'll be replaced numerous times over.
Correct. Yeah, it's not going to stop. I mean, if we think this is the end, we got another thing coming. So
let the audience know how they can find you.
Absolutely. So you can find me on my website, petersprofessionaleducation.com, where we do our on-demand CPE as well as webinars that we offer. You're also welcome to reach out to me via email, david@davidpetersfinancial.com. If there's a way that I can help, or if you want to talk about communication, or you want to talk about depreciating farm animals, or you would like to talk about just about anything else having to do with the profession, or, you know, frankly, if you just want another opinion, I'm happy to chat with you if you want to chat with me. You all right there, Pete?
I don't know. I'm really appreciating farm animals. It's just funny to me. It's just very funny to me. David, thank you so very much. It was such a blast. And hopefully someday our paths will cross in person.
Yeah, I would like that a lot, Pete. So thank you very much for having me. It's been fun.
Again, I'd like to thank David for sharing his thoughts on what he sees the accounting profession, what it looks like in the future, and especially his wonderful humor. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Audible, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Also, please subscribe to and share this podcast episode with a friend. And also, please visit my YouTube channel, Peter A. Margaritis, CSP, CPA, Biz Improv Virtuoso, where you can see previous podcast video episodes along with this one. While there, just hit the subscribe button and you won't miss any updates. And always remember, there are people who prefer to say yes, and there are people who prefer to say no. Those who say yes are rewarded by the adventures they have, and those who say no are rewarded by the safety they attain. Be a yes person. Thank you for listening.
Like what you just heard, visit c-suiteradio.com. C-Suite Radio, turning the volume up on business. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.